It's January the 10th in the year 2001, and this is Bob Gilgore interviewing Mrs. Effie Merritt at her home at 315 McDade Street in Chapel Hill. Good morning, Mrs. Merritt.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I appreciate your taking the time to let me interview you, and I'll open the questions with a very broad question. And that is, tell me about your growing up in this area, where you grew up, when you were born, about your parents, about how you saw society at that time.
I grew up in out in the rural area in Orange County. And I grew up in an area where there was not many. We were only black people on the other side of the railroad. And when I went to elementary school, I went to a school right up the road. Well, not, but first when I started elementary school, it was, I guess, about 3 miles from where I lived. Are you familiar with the Piney Mount area?
Yes, I am.
Well, I that's where I went to grade school when I first went to school. And afterward, when I was started about the fifth or sixth grade, a new school was built in the area, which was Marsh Road School, and that's where I went until about the seventh grade. And then after I finished seventh grade, I came to Orange County Training School, which was here in Chapel Hill.
Which is north side now?
Which is north side now, yes.
And did you move here at that time?
No. I still lived in the area. But first year I went to school here, I lived with my aunt in Carver. And the next year, it was 2 years that before they had the first bus. The year that I graduated from high school was the year they had the first bus to come to Orange County Training School. So I lived at home and rode the bus to school.
I hate to ask you this. It's almost as bad as asking someone how much they weigh, but when were you born?
12/21/18.
And what did your parents do?
My father ran a sawmill until the Great Depression. Then he made a very good living in the Great Depression. When the Great Depression came, it was kind of hard because his sawmill business went down. And it resorted mostly then to farming.
And did your mother work?
No, she never worked. She always stayed home.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Oh, yes, I had 4 brothers and 2 sisters. 2 brothers older than I, 2 younger than I, and then 2 sisters.
And did you grow up surrounded by any other family?
Nothing but my grandfather. We lived next door to my grandfather.
What kind of a house did you live in?
Well, it was a pretty nice house. I have some pictures here somewhere of where I grew up. In fact, there's a picture there by the door of my grandfather's house, which is still standing. But the house that I grew up in has been demolished and a little smaller house built.
The schools that you went to were all black?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I never went to an integrated school, no.
What was your relationship like with your parents? Discipline, love, time spent with them?
Well, we had a good relationship. We had a very good relationship with my father and mother, too. At that time, it was not a lot of things you could do in the rural area. When you went to school, you came home, and the time you got home and did the chores, it's time to eat dinner or, you know, or supper, we call it, and go to bed. Because there's no TV, no television, and no radio at that time. Close. It was not until, I don't know how old I was before we got a radio, a long time before we had a radio.
Did you get a newspaper?
Yes, we had a newspaper, yes.
Did you have books in the home?
Well, mostly school books, not a lot of books, just the school books.
Did you have an encyclopedia?
No.
Did you have a dictionary?
Well, yes, when we went to school, we had dictionaries at school, yes.
But not in the home?
No.
Did you see in your family or in the community alcohol, the use of alcohol, or alcohol abuse?
Well, it was alcohol in the community, but I never saw any alcohol abuse.
Mm-hmm. Not in your family?
No.
Did your father drink?
He did at one time, yes.
When you were living there at home?
When I was very young. Mm-hmm. He had an awful experience. He went off one day and he drank too much. And, well, I guess he felt like he was going to die because he was having such difficulty with it.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
He was having such difficulty with it. He just thought he was going to die. So he told my mother that night, said, if I get over this, I'll never drink another drop. And he quit cold turkey right then. Mm-hmm. And he never drank anymore until the day he died.
Was there any physical abuse? Did you see any physical abuse at home? Or
no.
Did you see it in the community?
No.
Who ran the household?
My mother and father.
So it was a mixed?
It was a mixed. Nobody was really safe. No head. You could say, well, you got to do this. It was just a joint thing.
Mm-hmm. How about your friends in the community? Was it like that in their home, their homes as well? Or would you say that more often than not, the women ran the household?
Well, I think it was just a joint thing. As far as I knew it was in my home, as far as I knew.
Anything else that you remember about growing up before you went to the Northside School, the Orange County Training School? Anything else that sticks out in your mind?
Not really. Well, my parents, we had PTA meetings, they had PTA meetings out in the rural area. And the whole community was involved in the PTA meetings, even in the rural areas. Mm-hmm. Both of my parents were very involved in PTA meetings. Neither one of them went any farther than just grade school, but they were always interested in we getting the most that we could out of whatever they had.
So they went to PTA, all the PTA meetings, PTA meetings?
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm.
And would you say that was common in the African-American community?
It was very common.
You were talking to me before about the differences in the PTA between the PTA in the black schools and the PTA in the integrated schools. Could you tell me, repeat that, what you said about the community involvement and how voting was done, decisions were made?
Yes, in the black during my experiences with my children in the PTA, the PTA was just, the whole community was involved. It was just like a church meeting. Everybody went. And decisions were discussed and voted on by the whole group. But as when the schools were integrated, and all of my children had gotten out of school at that time, but I had a grandson, and I was involved in the PTA then, but it was not like it was in the before integration. When you went to the PTA meetings after integration, you were just a number, and you were there. All the decisions were already made before you came, and all you had to do was hold up your hand and say yes. You're not involved in any decision making.
Who made the decision?
The committees.
The committee.
The committee made the decision, and you just okayed it.
You look like you have a frown on your face right now, ma'am. And I assume that that was somewhat distressing to you.
It was. It really was.
And were you unique at being distressed, or did a lot of other people feel the same way?
I don't know if they did or not, because I didn't go very many more times because I didn't see any need for me to be there, just to say okay.
So you felt like you were involved when a group made a decision, which was how you made your decisions in the black schools?
That's right, that's right.
Did people who didn't have children in the school system continue to go to the PTA meetings?
They did. They did.
Would you say it was like a community event, a PTA meeting?
That's right. It was. It's like, you know, just not like a church meeting, but the group came together as though, you know, when you go to church, everybody's involved. And that's the way the PTA meetings were. Because I can remember a lot of people that children had long gone, they were still going to PTA meetings.
Anything else you want to go back over regarding your growing up before you got to Northside? What was your relationship with white children? Did you have white children in the neighborhood? Did you have any interaction with them?
No. When I grew up there, there were white people in the neighborhood, but their children were long gone. They had grown up. But my family had a good relationship with the white community. My father, you know, they would come and sit around the fire and talk, and then you look out and see a lantern coming across the field or coming, and there'd be some white neighbor coming over that sat around the fire and talk for hours, and then they'd get up and go home. And we had a neighbor up the road, up there on the hill. He and my daddy had a good relationship. They would meet out there on the railroad, and they'd stand there and talk for hours, and nobody, I don't know what they were talking about, but they would stand and talk for hours, and my daddy would make a step towards the house, and the other man on the hill, he would make another step toward him, and finally they'd quit talking and go their own ways. But we had a good relationship with our white neighbors.
How did segregation affect you?
Well, I didn't know segregation as it really was until I got out of that little corner where we lived, because we had a good relationship, because we didn't I can remember when I was small, my mother would go up to the lady's house on the hill, and they would sit and talk and, you know, visit. And then sometimes the lady would come down and sit and talk with my mother. And I didn't know
segregation
as it was until I left, you know, in that little area.
So you started seeing the effects of segregation when you went to Northside?
More or less, yes. Mm-hmm.
Can you talk to me about that, and then talk to me about what you thought of Northside?
Well, Northside was an all-black school.
It was called Orange County Training School?
That's right, it was called Orange County Training School. Mm-hmm. And it was one lady that was the head of the PTA meeting. She said she's the one started said training school, that's a training school, you know, it's not really a school it's more or less a place where people, I guess people in trouble or something, is a training school. But anyway, she started effort to change the school's name. And they came up with a lot of different names. And finally they stopped, called it Lincoln. And
when did they change the name to Lincoln? Remember?
That was when the new school came. It was
on Merritt Mill Road?
That's right.
What were your teachers like at Northside?
They were Northside, but when I went to school there, they were all, there was no immigration, they were all black. Mm-hmm. They were very good, they were very good, and that's why the children have such a love for Lincoln, because most of them started at Northside and then they went to Lincoln, and a lot of the teachers that left Northside also went on down to Lincoln. Now, Mr. McDougal, he was my mathematics teacher when I came to Orange County Training School. Ms. McDougal, his wife, was a social studies teacher. And so when they went to Lincoln, Ms. McDougal went on to Lincoln, and she was left in the elementary. I don't think she went to Lincoln as a teacher. I think she stayed in the elementary group. But the relationship was very good. And you didn't question. The teacher was allowed to discipline the children.
How would they discipline the children?
Well, I don't know if any, they were, you know, you were allowed to, if you sent them home or do any ways like that, they would send them out of class or send them home or something, and they'd have to deal with the parents. But not like it is now, you can't even hardly say anything to a child unless you've got child abuse.
Did they use any kind of corporal punishment to punish the children? Did they hit them?
Not that I know, not in high school, I don't remember that.
What about at the Orange County Training School when you first went there?
I don't know of anything, not anything like that, really.
When you were a little off track, you started saying something about questioning the teacher.
I got off track there myself.
Did you see when you, regarding segregation, when you moved to the Chapel Hill area? I think you said you lived with your grandmother for a year here, or
my aunt.
Your aunt.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it was the same. It was no different. You know, you didn't mingle in you had no contact with the black community.
So the Orange County Training School went from first grade on up through
11th. That's right.
And then you graduated.
That's right.
What did you do after graduation?
Well, after graduation, I went to work. I had a scholarship to go on to school, but at that time, there's no money. You know, my parents were getting on up, and there was no money for me to go to college, so I went to work.
What kind of work did you do?
Domestic.
And can you tell me something about the hours that you worked and the pay that you received for that?
Well, the first job I had was just a few hours, maybe it was something like $3 a week, I think. And then the next job I had went to work at a restaurant, and I was making $7 a week.
Did you work full-time at the restaurant?
Yes, I did.
8 hours a day?
Yes, 8 hours a day.
5 days a week?
7 days a week.
7 days a week, 8 hours a day, and you made $7.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get tips aside from that?
No, I was in the kitchen. I didn't get to, didn't work in the attic, you know, where they get to.
And how long did you stay there?
I think I stayed there about 3 years. And then I got married, and I stayed home with my children until my oldest daughter was 6 years old. Then I went back to work in a fraternity house.
What did you do in the fraternity house?
I cooked in the fraternity house.
What did your husband do?
He worked as a janitor at the fraternity house.
Same fraternity?
Mm-hmm.
Which fraternity?
The Kappa Sigma.
Did he have any other role there besides being a janitor?
No.
So he didn't develop a relationship with the... did your husband have any kind of a relationship with the fraternity students?
Yeah, they had a very good relationship. Very good.
Did he act as a mentor for them? Did he act as a father figure for them at all, or just...
I don't think he acted as a father figure because he wasn't that much older than some of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a good relationship, a good working relationship.
Did you talk to your children about the work that you did there, or did you involve your children?
Well... No, because they were very small at that time. When I went to work at that time, they lived, my husband's family lived next door. And in fact, we were living there then. And when they came home from school or whatever, they'd stay there with their grandparents until I came home.
And how long did you stay at the fraternity house, cooking there, and your husband working there as a janitor?
About 8 years.
Mm-hmm. So your children were, in junior high school or still in elementary school when you left there?
Elementary school.
And where did you go to work after that?
I went to a sorority house.
As a cook?
Mm-hmm.
And your husband, did he stay on where he was?
Yes, he did.
Why did you leave and go to the sorority?
What happened? I can't quite remember now. He went to another, he left there and went to he went to the hospital to work. So I left and went to school. We left to the place, returned and went to the hospital.
What did the hospital offer him that the fraternity didn't?
Well, he didn't have to work as long hours. He had regular hours to work.
Mm-hmm.
And he went as a, I don't know what they call it. But then he worked in the psychiatric ward. He worked there for... maybe 25 years. Then he had two jobs. He went to the Kaisai Lodge and he worked there 32 years.
It doesn't seem as though there are enough hours in the day for him to do that.
Well, you see, he would get up in the morning and go to the fraternity house and work until about 12. And come home and take a bath and rest a while. Then he would go to the hospital and work from 3:30 to 12:30 at midnight. But it was not that. He would have, say, work 2 days. He didn't work 7 days right straight. He'd work 5 days and have off two. And then maybe the next week he'd have work 5 days and to get off on Friday. He wouldn't have to go back to Tuesday, so that would make 4 days, you know, together.
So he could recover some.
That's right.
Those are real long hours.
Well, you know, you do what you have to do to make a living.
And what kind of hours did you work in? What kind of pay did you get from the sorority?
Well, my pay went up when I was, when after I went to the fraternity house to the sorority, it was about equal. We got, you know, minimum wage.
You worked 5 days a week or longer?
Well, at the sorority house, I worked, let's say 7 days. Work Monday through Friday, and you get off Friday afternoon. And then you went back Saturday, and you had Saturday, Sunday afternoon out. So it was, all in all, I would say 7 days a week.
How did you have time to raise your children?
Well, it was one thing. I lived with my grandparents, and the grandmother was home. And Clarence had a sister, but she was there all the time. So they took care of them while we were out.
So it was like the family was raising the
children.
That's true. What about discipline? If you weren't there, could your sister or your parents?
They didn't dare disobey because they knew what they would get when we got home. They had high regard for the grandparents. They wouldn't do anything, disobey them. Because if they were reared like that, you know, whatever they tell you to do, that you did it. You didn't question it because they wouldn't tell you to do anything wrong.
What about the neighborhood here? Did you have paved streets everywhere? Did you have running water in most of the homes?
Yeah, we had paved. The street out here wasn't paved when I first came here. No, I don't know what year it was paved, but it wasn't paved when I started living. But we had running water.
Did all of this area have running water?
Yes, there's no well. There used to be wells here before I came here, but all the wells were closed up. Everybody had running water.
So when your children went to school, they went to Northside and Lincoln High School, is that right?
That's true.
And what did you do, how did you get involved in their schooling? Were you active in the PTA? Did you have meetings with their teachers?
Well, yes. When they started school, I started going to the PTA meetings. And I was involved with them until they finished high school.
Were you a grade mother, or did you help out in any other way?
Yes, I did, because, at one time, the children didn't get everything that they needed from the school system. They would have things to raise for the children, get things for the children that they needed, and different things like that.
So the PTA raised money?
Yes, it did.
To buy things for the school. What kind of things did they need to buy?
I don't know what they did with the money that they, you know, that they would have. Like grade mothers, each person, each grade mother would be responsible for raising money for that grade that she would represent. I don't really know what happened to the money, but it was used for the school, whatever.
When your daughter was in, how many children did you have?
Four.
Girls, boys?
I had two boys and two girls.
And did they have any, did they do anything extracurricular things like sports or band or any of the clubs?
Well, my oldest son was in the football. He played football and was in the band. And my daughter, she was in the band, and she was a majorette in the band. But the younger son, he was not involved in sports at all.
So one son played football, and can you tell me any of the experiences regarding the football team at Lincoln?
Well, football, I don't know. I know he played football.
Did you go to the games?
Oh, yes, we followed the games wherever they went most of the time. Even out of town, we would follow the games when he was playing football. And we followed the football, you know, the parents followed the teams as old like they did the band. You know, of course, we didn't follow the band because they went everywhere just about, you know. They went to, but we followed the football and the basketball, too.
What kind of team did they have? Did they have a good team?
They had bad teams.
When your son was there, did they play for any of the state championships?
I don't recall that.
Do you remember how they got their equipment or how they got their uniforms?
What, the band and the what?
The band and the football team.
The band, the first band equipment, it was school here a long years ago called a Quaker school. And when the when the place was sold, the money was given to the school, the black school, and they bought the larger band equipment, the larger instrument with that money. And then the children that played in the band, the parents bought that instrument. Because I bought her. Shirley played saxophone, and my oldest son played the trumpet.
What about their uniforms? Did you have to make their uniforms, or?
The PTA raised money for the uniforms, too.
And the football uniforms?
No, no. I don't know where they got the football uniforms. But the parents raised money for band uniforms.
Can you tell me more about the band? You had a smile on your face when you mentioned the band.
Well, the band was the pride of the school. It was the pride of the whole community. I got some time.
So we were talking about the band, and you had this smile on your face, and you were telling me that it was the pride of the community.
It was. It really was. When they had the homecoming games for the but the school, everybody turned out to see the band. The street was lined just like Christmas parade. And it was a pride of the whole community.
What made them so good?
Well, they had good teachers and good discipline.
Were they high-stepping, strutting?
Oh, yes, very much so. Very much so.
So they had a lot of style.
Oh, yes, very much so.
Were there band competitions?
Yes, it was. You can... Yes, that...
What was your daughter's involvement with the band?
She was... she played the saxophone. And then after she started, she was majorette. But she still, you know, played saxophone. And I think the last couple of years she played oboe. school bought the oboe and she played the oboe.
And what was it like for you to see your daughter as a majorette band?
I was very proud of her, and my son too.
What did your son do with the band?
He played the... cut that off just a minute. My son played trumpet and cornet.
How long did he play in the band?
He played from the time he started in elementary school, went on through high school. He played through until he finished high school.
Did he ever use his ability to play an instrument as a way of making a living?
No.
What did your children do after they graduated high school?
Well, my daughter went on to, she went to Howard for a couple of years. Then she came back and went to A&T. And my oldest son went to Tennessee A&I. And he went there about a year and a half. And then he dropped out and didn't go back. But my youngest son, he went to Allen University in South Carolina. I had a sister that was teaching down there. And he went and stayed with her and went to school. Then after she left there, he went into service and came out, and then he went and finished from Hampton University. And now he's a principal in Virginia. He's principal, assistant principal in Virginia.
Mm-hmm. And what about your other daughter? Did she go to get further education?
She went to Bennett College for a couple of years. Then she came out and went to work for Bell Southern Bell. Mm-hmm. And she didn't finish.
So you had two children who graduated college, and one of them is a principal now. And what about Shirley? What is she doing now?
She's retired now. She worked at Duke for... Cut that off, please. She worked 28 years at Duke, but cut it off again. I got to ask another. Come back again. She worked at that child psychiatry day center until she retired.
At Duke?
Yes.
How could you afford to send two children to college with the kind of wages you were mentioning?
Well, college is not as expensive as it is now. And then when my son went to Allen, he lived with my sister. And I don't know, we just made it.
Just did it.
Just did it.
Was there any other work that you did in the community? Church work, other community work besides the PTA?
Well, I was involved with my church, but other than that, I know.
Were you an officer in the PTA?
Yes, I was. It was at one time I was secretary, and then I was president for a couple of years.
Did you have any trouble with your children when they were growing up? Did they get into trouble?
No. The biggest trouble they got in was when they sit in at the Big John's.
So they were at Colonial Drugstore sitting in up there?
They did.
Can you tell me about that, what your feelings were about that?
Well, I agreed with them because I wouldn't have done it, but they did. But my two sons, the ones that did it, they sat in. A bunch of their friends, they went in there and sat down. And I don't know what they did, but they were arrested. And taken downtown and had to go to court.
Did they have to pay a fine, or did they go to jail for it?
No, they didn't go to jail. It was dismissed. At that time, they had as you grow older, things phase you. But they did have to go to court.
Did they share with you the plans that they had to sit in there, or they just did it on their own?
When I knew any things, people would call me and say my children, the police had it. Had arrested my children, they were going downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I knew it.
How did the police treat your children when they arrested them?
They didn't abuse them.
They didn't?
No, they didn't abuse them. But my husband and I went down and bailed them out.
Did you talk to your children after that about what they had done and discourage them or encourage them, or what happened?
Well, I just let it be.
You said that you wouldn't have done it, but it was okay for your kids to do it.
Well, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't have done it at the time, no. But it was beginning to be a different area from what I grew up and what they were growing up. And I couldn't expect them to see things exactly as I saw them then when I was growing up.
What was different about when you were growing up?
Well, you didn't, places you didn't go and things you didn't, you know, weren't involved with different people, and it was just different.
Are there any other things that you'd like to share that I haven't asked you?
Not right now. I can't think of anything right now.
I'm running out of questions, too.
I can't think of anything else right now.
Well, I really appreciate your talking with me. Thank you very much.
Well, I hope I haven't made too many blunders.
I don't think you've made any blunders, ma'am. Not at all. In fact, you've added a couple of really significant things to what I've heard, and I appreciate that.
Well, anything that I said, I think it came from my heart, and I, it was as I saw it.
That's all I can ask for. Thank you.
Yeah.